May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the epistle today is the line I want you to remember if you don't remember anything else. He who has promised is faithful. God who has promised is faithful. The one who has promised is faithful. And that theme runs throughout our scripture today, from 1 Samuel and the story of Hannah, who was bullied and taunted because she was barren in a time when women who didn't have children were considered worthless or less, at the very least. Even though her husband loved her, his other wives taunted her because she could not give him what society deemed most important. Hannah prayed. Hannah worried. Hannah prayed so hard that Eli thought she was drunk. She had to say, "No, I am just asking for God, for what he has not given me." And yet she persevered, and it was her perseverance, I think, that led Eli to say, "May God grant you your wish." As we know, this doesn't always happen, but this time it did. God granted her the deepest desire of her own heart. He granted her a son, which she named Samuel. "The Lord has heard me. The Lord has given me what I want." And the thing about Hannah's perseverance and the thing about this story is that she did not keep what she most wanted for herself. She gave her son back to the care of the church. The thing she wanted most, treasured most, the thing she begged God for and then was given, she did not keep for herself. She gave her most precious thing, relationship, treasure, back to God. Now, I don't think I could do that. I don't think I could leave my sons in the temple, although there's some days when maybe, but they're passing moments. That generosity, that perseverance is theme for today, a hope for all of us to hold on to when our lives are barren, metaphorically, in whatever way they seem to be scarce. He who has promised is faithful. The one who has promised is faithful. God who has promised is faithful. And it's not always exactly as we want. In Hannah's case, it wasn't at the time she wanted, but it was what she wanted. Now we know that doesn't always happen. God often takes winding roads and gives us what we need rather than what we think we need. God knows our desires. God knows what is good for us. God has wonderful things in store, even in the times that seem barren, in the illness, in the sickness, in the loss. In Mark, Jesus was talking to his disciples, men who had left everything to follow him, and they were admiring the beautiful temple, the magnificent temple, and Jesus said, Beware. The stones will fall. The stones of these temples will fall. There will be war and rumor of wars and famine, and terrible things will happen. And people will try to tell you that God is not in the midst of that. And they will be lying, because the one who has promised is faithful. There will be war and famine, earthquakes, times of hardship and scarcity, and God is present in all of that. And when that happens, one of the ways that God asks us to respond is by giving back the most precious treasures that God has given us. Whatever our skill, whatever our faith, whatever our ability, whatever our love, whatever our forgiveness, God asks us to transform with generosity those hard, barren places in our world and in our lives. I've seen that generosity at Trinity. I've seen it so many times in some little funny ways, like, every year we serve Lot's Thanksgiving for our neighbors. We have a service at 11 on this Wednesday coming up, and then we serve a Thanksgiving breakfast. And for the last 4 years, we've had the blessing of having all those turkeys donated, already cooked, cut, sliced, and they just arrive at our kitchen ready to serve. That's been wonderful. But the company that's been doing that for us wasn't able to do that this year. And so the new head of this Thanksgiving lunch, who was told that this was already taken care of because it'd been taken care of for many years, gets this ministry, and she has to figure out how to get 18 turkeys. How to cook them, where to cook them, where to slice them, who's going to do it with her. So shout out to Ann McCoy, who has somehow figured it out, because the folks at Trinity are so generous and don't leave people that they know and work with and pray with hanging. So they've all been donated by us, and a bunch of folks are going to show up on Tuesday to cook and slice them and be ready for the commitment that we have for our neighbors. I never thought I'd be thankful for people deboning turkeys, but I am. More seriously, about 3.5 months ago, families from my time as a missionary in El Salvador showed up and needed our help. Out of the blue, that I asked you to trust me and open the resources that we have at this congregation and open our house and take on these families seeking asylum from the violence in El Salvador. And you did. And this family who's here today, and we will bless them, they found a place to get their sea legs, to get oriented to a new country, a new culture, to take a breath and to be surrounded by love and faith. And now they will be leaving in the next couple of weeks with our support and help to continue their journey. But having been supported so generously by people that they did not know, with whom they shared a connection of faith, a link of denomination, but more importantly, which they shared a sense of trust and love that God would provide even when all seemed lost. I am grateful to God for the people of Trinity and their willingness to literally open their hearts and souls and house to strangers. The other day, I had somebody who was coming to visit me who had never seen Trinity, and I was walking around the church with them, and you know, I was just kind of pointing out, I was going through the tour and how beautiful everything is, but to see through this person's eyes who had never seen Trinity or the chapel, to walk in and their mouth just kind of hung open because it was so beautiful, helped me see again that our good stewardship of these precious resources is a gift to the community. And she stayed and prayed and felt comforted and strengthened in a time of need. And that is why today we give. It's our in-gathering generosity Sunday, and we ask all to give what they can. You have been so generous in so many ways, and I'm confident that will happen again today. And I just want to thank you. Thank you for those small examples, those couple of examples that I have noticed, I have mentioned today. And I wanted to remind you of a quote by one of my favorite theologians, John Cyrino, who said that the resurrection is the source of the good news. Now remember, Hannah gave birth to a son, and Jesus ended the warning today to stay faithful in hard times with the phrase, "This is the beginning of birth pangs." So he was saying that even in the hard times, new life will come. And so John Cyrino says, resurrection is the source of the good news. And that the dynamism that helps us face the greatest hurdle facing evangelism, which is the lack of conviction that good news is possible. And here today, and in this congregation, we don't lack that conviction. We, through our generosity, have been good news to each other, to our community, to our neighbors. Now, is there work that we can do? Absolutely. But today, I just want to say thank you. And I want to end with reading a prayer that was written in memory of Archbishop Oscar Romero. And I want you to substitute the word prophet for steward. A steward is someone who takes care of something valuable. And today, as you offer your pledges, you are saying that this place, in so many ways, is of value to you. The prayer is, it helps now and then to step back and take a long view. The kingdom is not only beyond our efforts, it is beyond our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. Nothing we do is complete, which is another way of saying that the kingdom always lies beyond us. So persevere. No statement says all that could be said. No prayer fully expresses our faith. No confession brings perfection. No pastoral visit brings wholeness. No program accomplishes the church's mission. No set of goals and objectives includes everything. But this is what we are about. We plant the seeds that one day will grow. We water the seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces effects far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything. And there is a sense of liberation in realizing this. This enables us to do something and to do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning. A step along the way, an opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the end results, but That is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are workers, not master builders. Ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets or stewards of a future, not our own. Amen.